Welcome. I could have done better than that. Welcome to the Getting My Act Together podcast for Tuesday, March 5th, 2024. I hope you had a great weekend. I hope your week is off to a crisp, energizing, productive, fulfilling start. And I hope that your life is at least not perfectly progressing, but I hope that it's the trend line is in the right direction, that you're moving closer to where you want to go. I think it's also very important that you define the destination, because how are you going to ever get there if you don't know where the fuck you're going? I say this as a dropout of high school, okay? All who wander are not lost, the bumper sticker tells you, but a lot of them are. And I know, because I have wandered a fair amount, but I'm not lost. Now I'm here with you. Before, as you know, that Spotify has removed some of the tools that have enabled this podcast to flourish over the last 3.5 years. Still working through the kinks of that. I noticed last Friday when I posted the podcast episode about finding my inner Rick Rubin, that right before I posted it, it gives me a little disclaimer that says, before you continue, okay, and which just means, are you ready to surrender a lot of your rights and proprietorship? Before you continue. Also, you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to give you a bit of an agenda for the podcast. I'm going to talk briefly about Spotify. I'm just going to read this introduction. I'm just going to read this, whatever, a disclaimer. I'm going to talk. Here's what I'm going to do. Here's the agenda. This Spotify thing doesn't even count. Then I'm going to talk about the Hookah Lounge, open mic comedy. I'm going to talk about my butt and comedy. Then I'm going to talk to you a little bit about my friends from Atlanta visiting. I told you that? Did I tell you any of this? It's terrible that I don't remember that, but I don't think I did tell you any of that. We had friends visit from Atlanta. And I want to tell you a little bit about my daughter getting trundled into the ocean. And then if I have time, I will briefly elaborate on how I understand why. And you're not hearing me turn, but you might hear the beginning of a turn. Of me understanding why people don't like Taylor Swift. And it's deeper than the fact that she's just omnipresent or selectively omnipresent. And I'm not mad at her for showing up at football games. I'm not mad at her in the least. There's something about, it's more. What was it, Captain? Well, it's something more. It's something more. It's more than just being the biggest star in the world. There's a little, como se dice, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old. Maybe I'm a dad to Brad or a Chad. I'm fine with Taylor Swift. I am moving away from my perspective that I don't trust white girls who don't like Taylor Swift. I'm moving away from that. Because I can get why you might not like her. If I get to that at the end, hold your breath. Here's what Spotify says before I post the podcast. All right, Hookah Lounge, my daughter, and friends visiting from Atlanta, and then Taylor Swift, if I get to her. If I get to you, T-Swizzle, like that, calling herself T-Swizzle. Maybe she doesn't call herself T-Swizzle, maybe somebody else does. I don't know, but there's a bit of borrowing. I don't know. I'm no expert in appropriation, but I feel like, you know, you're growing up, you're constantly reinventing yourself. You're taking a little bit of this, a little bit of that. There are sections of her music that the production is so big and hip-hoppy, and it's kind of like, well, what are you doing over there? You know, we'll see if I get to it, okay? Hookah, friends, maybe Taylor Swift. So you recall that the podcast initially was on a service called Anchor. And then Anchor was owned by Spotify or bought by Spotify. Then it became known as Spotify for Podcasters. And now Spotify for podcasters has taken away a fair amount of what made it super easy for me, as I detailed, and I'm not going to take you into the weeds, and make me use this other service called, what was the title of the last podcast or two podcasts ago? Riverside. It's like, all right, I'll keep following you there until you make the podcast network inaccessible to me, and then I'll be shit out of luck. By the way, if you ever get to a place where there is no podcast, you're like, I haven't heard from him, go look at my Instagram story and I will post something there about it. Because it won't be by my design, it will be Spotify stripping it away. All right, so I be right before you post or publish the podcast, it says, before you continue. Automated processes will be used to help your podcast reach a wider audience on our services, such as transcribing, translating, or creating clips of your shows. Automated processes. I think, just say what it is. It's artificial intelligence. Man cannot decide how we really feel about AI. It's driving the stock market to the sun, and everybody is terrified that it's going to end the world. Can it do both of those things? Automated, before you continue. Like, why don't you just do it, you know? So many times, and this is something you learn living in the South. Just ask for forgiveness, not permission. Just do the goddamn thing, even if this is some legal obligation. Just do the thing and then wait for everybody to cry and then say, our bad. You know, like Wendy's suggest, which is amazing to me that there is such demand for Wendy's that they can actually use surge pricing or dynamic pricing. And I thought that was foolish that Wendy's came out and said, hey, everybody, we really appreciate you being our customers. And when it's most challenging for you to do that, we're going to raise our prices. On the one hand, I really appreciate Wendy's being so forthright in their utter greed and willingness to take advantage of people's needs in the surge hours of fast food. Sorry, fast casual. It's fast food. It's Wendy's. So I respect that they're so open about that. This is what we're doing. We understand that you need to pick up a Happy Meal for your kids and there's fries and you have to get back to, you know, trying to study for some exam that gets you certified to do more of some shit job that no company pays you for because they're enriching themselves. You know, and what we're doing here at Wendy's is right in that moment when you're trying to get home, we're going to raise the prices on you. That's how little we think of you. And I kind of res I despise them for doing it, but I respect the fact that they're so upfront in saying what they're doing. And I'm sure if I dug into the Wendy's website, not to sound too embittered or Generation X, but it probably would say how they're surge pricing to make life better for their customers. As a late great friend of mine once said, don't piss down my back and tell me it's raining. Okay, Wendy's? You know what you're doing. You're raising your prices because you think you can. And you could have until you told everybody about it. And they're like, Wendy's isn't that good anyway. How does Wendy's differentiate itself? You're better off if you don't tell people how you're fucking them over, you know? Just be like Chase or the Catholic Church or something. Automated processes will be used to help your podcast reach a wider audience on our services, such as transcribing, translating, or creating clips of your shows. By uploading your podcast, you are electing to create these versions of your podcast. What's that called, Central Jersey prosecutor? I'm giving consent to something. I'm telling them by participating that I'm enabling, I'm saying I'm laying no future legal claim to anything that, you know, that happens to my show or anything else. Right? by uploading your podcast, you are electing to create these versions of your podcast. Really, again, be like Wendy's and just say, by uploading your podcast, you understand we're going to squeeze everything we can out of this, even possibly disfiguring it in a way you don't like it, and you are relinquishing any potential right to raise your voice about that. Just say that. I don't understand any of this automated processes to reach a wider audience. There it is. There's the benefit to me. If it's good for, I'll tell you what, podcast, Wendy's, anybody else, if it's good for me, you don't need my consent. Just do it. All right? But I feel like when you're asking for my consent or relinquishing rights, you know it's not good for me. It's good for you. Okay? All right. That's all I want to say about Spotify. I told you the other day, just do comedy. That's my plan. Just do comedy. It's just some bud. It's just some head. Just do comedy in San Diego and go from there. Well, guess what? Whenever that was, I said, I'm going to go to a mic right away because I know that my guy is hosting at the Hookah Lounge. At the Hookah Lounge where I told you I went and I had a really good time a few weeks ago. Well, he apparently was, there are several players here. There is the Hookah Lounge. I'm going to try to set the stage with giving you a detail or two instead of saying guy, my guy, this guy. There is a Hookah Lounge. There is the owner of the Hookah Lounge. And then there is the host or the showrunner of the open mic that was happening 5 or 6 times a week at this hookah spot, which was less than 15 minutes away from my house, like 12 minutes away from my house. I went to one of them, had a really fun time. I told you there was a weird sort of, not weird, what's the right way to say it? An entrepreneurial spirit to the guy who owned it, meaning, I think I told you this on a podcast. I said, yeah, because I wanted to support. I said, yeah, can I get a beer? And then he charged me $13, took my card there. I told you this, $13 beer, without asking me what kind. I just said, I'll have a beer. Yeah, I remember talking about this. Anyway, that's the place. And then he went and got me some beer and said, what do you want, Modelo or Heineken? Like I said, he's an entrepreneur. So I emailed the showrunner, not the venue owner, the Hookah Lounge. I emailed the showrunner on whatever day that was that I said I realized I was just going to do comedy. That's it. Just going to do comedy in Atlanta. And I said, hey, is your mic at the Hookah Lounge happening tonight? Because I'm just doing comedy. It's just some bud, cop. And he messaged me back saying, it is not happening there anymore, and I will no longer do business with that man. He will no longer do business with the man who owns the Hookah Lounge. Yeah, you know. They had some falling out. I don't know what it's about, but I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised that someone trying to sublet the Hookah Lounge to do open mic comedy ran into a challenge with the proprietor of a Hookah Lounge, or the Hookah Lounge, depending on how you want to look at it. And so I sent back to him like, oh man, bummer, sorry to hear. Hold on 1 second. I said, oh man, bummer, sorry to hear. That place, just FYI, and this was me. I said, I appreciate your hustle, thanks so much. And then I said, you know, in a gesture of empathy, I said, that place seemed just a little sketch when I was there. And he wrote back and said, the place was great. It's the guy that I'll never do business with again. And then I was like, okay, well, I didn't mean the place. You know, I'm trying to be an ally here, sir. So what I said was, yeah, that was kind of what I meant, the vibe. Like, He charged me $13 for a beer before he told me what kind of beer I was getting. LOL. I was gonna say skimmed my card. He swiped my card. And I said, yeah, it was weird with the beer thing. And he goes, oh, that's the least of it. I'm like, all right. So, no show at the hookah. That's just the way it works in comedy, and especially in San Diego. A show happens for, or a mic happens for a few weeks, and then it's over. But staying positive, doing comedy, it's what we do. I got word from one of my very few San Diego comedy friends slash connections that he might have an eye on a he might have a connection on a new venue, he said. And I'm certain what that means is it's not a brand new venue, but he thinks that he might have a place where he can get a show off the ground, as I have been unable to do. And he said, I'll keep you posted, or fingers crossed, or something like that. So, it's a shame that that guy, it's a shame that there is, it's what it really, I was gonna say, the Hookah Lounge doesn't have 5 nights a week open mic anymore. You just really need places in cities that can run at losses to have a good stand-up comedy scene. Because that's how so many, or that don't need the mic to make money. Because it's hard to have broke comics come and be awkward, broke, autistic comics come stand around, not buy anything. You really are, as the venue, you're taking one for the team. And that's what we need more of. We need more venues that don't need to make money. That will enable a thriving open mic scene from which I graduated. You never graduate from an open mic scene. But anyway, here I am. Anyway, I mentioned that we had friends visit from Atlanta, which was great. Yeah, I did mention this. Did I mention all of it? I am sorry. I'm going to bed early, but I'm still getting up way too early. I did mention this because I mentioned I was talking to her about Fonnie Willis. I'm like, I saw what that was, right? And now I have to go back, and I don't want to stop the podcast and go back and try to determine if I talked about all this stuff. So if I did talk about, you know what I'll do? I'll talk about Taylor Swift for a minute, because then if you find I'm talking about things that I may have talked about on a previous podcast, then you can just jump off. And I'm sure you want to, I don't want you to have to wade through something you've already heard to hear my hot takes on Taylor Swift, a billionaire. That's something else I hate on this about this country. We spend too much time talking about fucking billionaires. Let's go talk to the ham and eggers. Let's go talk to the people who cut my hair, who are like, this neighborhood's changing. This neighborhood, I remember when. I went to the barber shop the other day, and it looks like a lesbian-run barber shop. And both of the women who welcomed me later were talking about their wives. And I sat down on the bench waiting to get my hair cut, and it said on the bench, "No man spreading." And it's hard for me because I'm so well endowed. We spend too much time. Who gives a fuck about Elon Musk? Who, I mean, if nobody's going to assassinate one of these guys, who? Because you shouldn't have that much. You should have as much as you can, but spread it around. Not to me, but to people who really fucking need it, okay? We spend too much time in this country, the media does, focusing on people that we don't care about. Who gives a shit about these politicians? Do you care that Lindsay Boebert, or Lauren Boebert, her son got arrested for breaking and entering into cars? Who cares? What did you expect? Here's what I think about Taylor Swift. Not what I think. I am starting to get a gradual, I can see why people would not like her. And it's not just because she won. It's not because she's on top of the game. There's something, the como se dice thing. There's something in the Madonna, Gwen Stefani, whoever else. I don't think Pink. Pink, because Pink has always been Pink, right? or she changed and evolved. In the white woman pop star keeping up, and not that white men don't borrow liberally across the history of recorded music, in the reinventing myself, taking on a different style, making my music different, there seems to be a bit of a borrowing. I'm no expert in what appropriation is, but I can see like a little borrowing. Some of the music, that the beats are just so big and heavy, and it's, the songs go. There's no doubt. There's like, it's like got a, it's a banger, whatever that song's called. Are you ready for it? First, my name was Taylor, so I was a jailer. I'll be the person to hit. It's a little hip. I could kind of get that. And then kind of, you know, I don't know. Borrowing, affiliating, associating with. But who am I to say? You know, who am I to say? I kind of get it. And then also kind of the look on her face. Now I'm, I'm turning into a, I like, fuck it. I like Taylor Swift. I kind of get how people would not like Taylor Swift. And the music is, music is the music. They're bangers. They're lowest common denominator bangers. What am I doing here? Do I have it out for Taylor Swift? You know, I'm going to come back to this at a later date because clearly it's not fully formed. All I want you to do on this day, 5th of March, 2024, is know that I'm memorializing, I'm starting to get why some people wouldn't like Taylor Swift. And it's more than just her. In her whiteness, I said it. I get how some people would not like that. That's all I have to say about that, really. But that song is a banger. Are you ready for it? Do, do, do. Said you was a killer. Do, 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 do. In the middle of the night, my dream. You should see the things we do. It also, young women, come at me if you have to. I totally understand why it works. Because it's like a vague, soft core. There's a lot of allusion to febrile nights, if you will, without ever explicitly stating them. And I imagine that causes many flushing girls' emotions and blood to race. And I think she's probably a vessel for that. And that's separate from why I see people, some people might not like her. But I really, like I said, I don't. What are we talking about? We had our friends come from Atlanta, and I apologize again if this is well trod territory, but they stayed over. We did soccer. My daughter's friend from Atlanta came and joined the soccer team, which was really fun. I was actually conditioned California, where I thought I would say to the coach, hey, my daughter's friend is here from Atlanta. Do you mind if she just plays? And I was in the California, you know, lots of regulations out here. I thought that there was a chance that the coach would have said, oh, we need to sign a permission slip and waivers and all this other, because if she falls down in the public park and sprains her toe, sorry, my dogs, they like to, as they like to do. But the coach was great. She's like, come on, let's go. And that was really fun. And then the mom who came is a vegan. Her daughter only eats bacon. My wife does not really eat meat. And my daughter does not seem to eat meat. And lo and behold, they all wanted to go to the taco shop after soccer, which was great because I'm going to get a breakfast burrito with carne asada. Two interesting things happened on this visit. The most noteworthy ones. The first one was we went to Balboa Park, which is, you've heard me say, is San Diego's Piedmont Park, it's Central Park, Lincoln Park, whatever your Golden Gate Park, whatever your goddamn park is, Balboa Park is ours. And we went there for a, this is what you do when you have kids, for a 5:30 dinner. By the way, my wife went out to dinner with her friends last night, and the girl and I had eaten dinner. And instead of hanging out at the house, we ran down to a local restaurant, and I had a glass of red wine, and she had some ice cream, and we had a nice little 30-minute pre-shower book bed dessert. Some wine for dad, some vanilla ice cream for the girl, some crayons. This place we like to go, it's kind of it's very comfortable, very nice. Anyway, that's what we did last night. But when we went to Balboa Park, we arrived at like 5:30. It's still light. There's big fountains. There's couples taking pictures. There's vendors lining the promenade. It's a big park like you'd expect any other big city park to be, filled with people, filled with vendors, filled with jugglers and balloon twisters and people probably preaching their religious beliefs and lots of tourists. I've painted the picture. We walk from the fountain, this big, beautiful fountain, walk down the promenade to this restaurant called the Prado, which is really nice. And we're taking our friends out to dinner. And we're going to eat outside. It's a balmy San Diego evening. There's no humidity. There's no, no humidity. There's no bugs. We don't really have bugs here. We have snakes, and we have earthquakes, and we have flash flooding and firestorms, but we don't really have bugs. We get flies, but you know, coming from Atlanta, it's just roach city and then mosquito city. Roaches on the inside, mosquitoes on the out, on the outside. We're set up to have a really nice meal, a really nice experience at the Prado, eating outside. The girls, 4 and 5, are hyped and they're excited to see each other. They're excited to play. They're excited to be in the park. And I said, hey, why don't we, while we're waiting for our food, why don't we go take a little 10-minute, a little 5, 10-minute walk back out in the promenade rather than, you know, compel a 4-year-old and a 5-year-old to sit there upright and napkin in your lap and like, let's go out there and have fun, which we do. And it's getting darker. And we go out and we walk down the promenade. And on either side of this walking promenade are buildings like museums. And my daughter actually takes ballet at one of them and dance. And you know, it's a public park that gets used by a lot of different people. So these buildings have art, these buildings have crafts. They have arts and crafts. There are just two buildings on either side of the promenade. We go walking up one of them, and I'm just a good parent, so I'm thinking, how can we tire the girls out? And I say, all right, girls, you want to, let's have a race. Why don't we run all the way up there and then run all the way back? And they're like, great. They love to, you know, do that. They take off running, and I see up there, I'm not yet accustomed to saying unhoused, but I can say there was an unhoused person, a homeless person, a fucking crazy person is really what it was. I see a dude up there chattering to himself. There are lots of homeless people here. I told you that. He takes off. He's up there, and they take off running. And I see him, kind of. He's if they're going lengthways up the long ways up the building, he's just back and forth widthwise talking to himself. And so they run up, Pat, and he's, let's say, 25 yards ahead of me. I'm standing at the end of the building. I see them. I'm watching them. They run all the way up. I see them coming close to him. They pass him. You know, and there are other people around. So even at some distance, I would never perceive them to be in danger from this crazy person. They run past him, and then they turn around and run back to me. And when I say danger from crazy person, meaning I was, you know, whatever I said, 25 yards away, something like that. They come running back, down the hallway and in this corridor. And as they do, the homeless person turns around and continues to scream or mutter, whatever, accelerates the screaming. And like, as he's turning around and starts moving back across the hallway and screaming, do they come running past, and they get essentially blowtorched. They walk like right into this shrieking, like insane volume, insane tone, impossible to understand, right? And it scares the shit out of them. And it gets the screaming gets so loud that like everybody in the corridor and in the walkway from the fountain down to the restaurant kind of turns around like, what the fuck was that? Well, it's this fucking maniac who just shrieks. And it's like they ran right into the hairdryer and they're, you know, overwhelmed by it. And then they just come screaming down to me. And I ran up to get them too, obviously. But everybody was like, what the fuck is this all about? And they're upset. My daughter is really upset, because she was closest to the guy and just like, also, you know, what the fuck is going on here? So they come down. I'm like, sorry, girls, it's okay. I know it's scary. That person is, I say to my daughter, and her friend understands, he doesn't have all his marbles. He's just, he doesn't really know what he's doing. He's not screaming at you. It was terrible timing. But they're upset, you know? And so then I'm, you know, ever mindful of not saying, of trying not to invalidate, right? If you experience it real, it's real. If you feel it, it's real. Well, this was certainly warranting, like, being scared shitless. And they were. And I was like, I know, it's bad. And you know what? He's just yelling at the world. It doesn't have anything to do with you, but it is kind of scary, and I get it. He's over there now. Let's go back into the restaurant. But before that, they were worked up to a degree that I kind of pulled them around this corner of the hallway, or whatever you call it, corridor. It's open air. And I pulled them around the corner near the reflecting pool and the Balboa Park Botanical Garden, which is under reconstruction, courtesy of donations, like, not by mine, by other people's donations. And I just pulled them there just aside to give them like a quick like hug and hold on, like, hey, I know that was rough. Sorry, I know, it startled me too. I didn't think he'd yell that loud. I'm going to catch my breath. And then while we're doing that, as the sun is going down here, and it really is two different environments. Before we walk, as we're walking into dinner, it's like, you know, I don't know, Beirut in the 30s, or it was like Florence. It was like joyful and bright and young couples taking pictures and families, a man selling ice cream, singing Italian songs. Anyway, very festive. And then after dinner, as the sun has gone down, it's like fucking Batman. It is so grimy. All the sellers are gone. All the vendors are gone. All the people are gone. And the only people left are these maniacs. Well, we were, and the point of this is just to, I guess, say what happened and maybe highlight how it's out of control. And I'm not complaining about it. It's just, it's a fucking problem. It's like the environment, I guess. It's a problem that's not going anywhere soon and seems to be getting worse. The climate. I pulled them around the corner near the reflecting pool, near the botanical garden, and I'm just trying to, I know, let them catch their breath and sort of uncry. And while we're doing that, no more than 10 feet to my right is another fucking maniac who is screaming the N-word at the top of his lungs over and over. He's a black dude, but he's still doing it. It's a jarring word to hear ping-ponging around the hallways, the botanical garden, the reflecting pool. While you're reflecting, enjoy this backing track. And the other thing is, my daughter's friend is a black girl. And I don't know what, you know, I don't want her to be near that word. I don't want her to hear it. Doesn't matter who's fucking saying it. And so I'm like, all right, let's just get the fuck out of here. What is going on with all these crazies? One is the lunatic that drove us down there in the first place. And then this other guy who I didn't even, essentially was like in the bushes. I didn't even see him. All of a sudden, he's going on and on. And I think he was a black guy. I'm pretty sure he's a black guy, but he was kind of camouflaged. So then we go back to the restaurant, and that's the end of the story. We go back to the restaurant, but they were like, they talked about it for a while. My daughter was like, she's like, I'm going to have nightmares about that guy. And I was like, sweetheart, I know. I feel you. You know, the way to maybe potentially ward off having nightmares about it is we can talk about, you know, the ice cream, or we can talk about the delicious, well, how about the chips and salsa or whatever we had. You know, what I'm trying to do is I'm not trying to, like I said, I'm not trying to invalidate what she experienced. I'm trying to jam her brain full of other things that imperil and impede the memory of that crazy being perfectly formed in her head. And I think I was pretty successful doing that because you can't, as I've said it before, you can't not think about something, right? Don't think of a pink elephant, right? Don't think about your bladder and if you have to go to the bathroom. You have to think about it to make sure you don't think about it. And the result is you're thinking about it. So what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to present interference into her head. Like if someone introduces themselves to you and then you immediately talk to someone else and then someone else after that, you're not going to remember the name of the first person because you've experienced what's called interference. So I'm trying to interfere with my daughter's encoding of that maniac. And I think I did because we immediately started talking about other things, and she didn't have a nightmare. She hasn't, in whatever it's been a week and a half, had a nightmare about that guy yet. And so hopefully, you know, it's something that she has as a memory, but not something that is, you know, as bad as a parking meter maid. For God's sake, Daddy Pig. So that was one, you know, it just happened. There's no moral point to the story other than, you know, Balboa Park during the day. Like I said, it looks like, you know, a man selling ice cream alive with the sound of life and youth. And then at night, it is really, really kind of grisly. Like Joker, the movie, grisly. Anyway, that happened. And then the next day, we took them up to La Jolla, the famous La Jolla Cove, and we went down and saw the seals and sea lions and the masses of tourists gathered to see them. My daughter is very cautious, but she's also bold. I probably said that. She's very cautious about some things, and then she's bold about others. She holds my hand a ton, just about everywhere we go in public. But then we get down to La Jolla Cove on the beach, and she is running to, you know, that thing where you go down to where the water, the ocean recedes, and then it rolls back in, and you run away from it. Ah, don't get me. Well, she does that, but she also is no more than, there's 8 feet from a seal that's going, rrr, rrr. And there are no signs saying, beware of the dangerous seals or sea lions. There are seals and sea lions that are down there. It's really cool. And tourists don't give a fuck. They're practically standing on top of them with their cameras. Nobody cares. And they must not be violent or present a danger to humankind because while we were standing there in La Jolla Cove, a woman just swam into shore from with a snorkel and everything, like she'd been doing long distance swimming, like she watched Naiad, which I haven't seen, but I'm gonna watch Naiad. She swims right through this pod, not pod, but the scattered seals and sea lions, which look like big boys, you know? And they have sharp teeth and they're going, rrr, rrr. My daughter is like 8 feet from one, running away from the water, running back in the water. I think 60 degrees, quite cold, but, you know, not impossible to swim in. And while my daughter's doing this, I'm watching her, but then my wife kind of creeps into the picture to the right, and I'm watching her. I'm maybe 15 feet back up the beach, you know, away from the water, standing with a guy who's from New Jersey who's asking me why the seals and sea lions come here. And I'm like, that's a good question. They actually need to rest. They come here to lay out for like 8 hours a day. And he's like, wow, that's incredible. I'm like, yeah, I know. I just read it on a sign on the way down here. So I'm standing with him watching my daughter run from the wave or the, whatever you call it. I guess it's a wave. From the tide is a better way of saying it. Little tiny wave breaks, water comes racing in, kid runs away from it. I see my wife inching over to where my daughter is, clearly aware that there's a sea lion or seal not that far away from her going. And as my wife's like, hey girl, come on over here just a little bit, my girl, oblivious to the sea mammal that is there. My daughter goes to run from the wave and she trips and falls down in her clothes, by the way, her lunch clothes, her Sunday clothes, and the wave rolls right over her. And so she's completely submerged. And so really what's happening here on this Sunday afternoon at La Jolla Cove is the only mammals that you can see in the water are the seals and sea lions who are just kind of like bobbing in the surf. And then some of them are sleeping on rocks. And my 5-year-old daughter, who is completely submerged in the cold water. And I see my wife, like I said, has inched over, so she's much closer, so I don't panic and run with a guy from New Jersey. My wife gets there first, picks her up. My daughter is like scared, crying, like, oh, it's so cold in my eyes, whatever. And I rushed over and I picked her up, and now I'm soaking wet, and I'm hugging comfort. And within 30 seconds, 90 seconds, she's jumped off me and is standing and beaming, so excited, like, I can't wait to tell. And she's talking about, she's, I can't wait to tell my juggling instructor. She can't wait to tell him because he still surfs in his 70s. He's a lifelong surfer. He still surfs. He's a waterman. And she's so thrilled that she's in the sea, in the ocean, when it's cold and wet and, it's probably all this other stuff she's gotten from him and me. Like, if it sucks and it's good for you and nobody else is, it sucks, it's good for you. If nobody else is doing it, you're tough. All this other stuff. We have a big saying in the house. If it were easy, everyone would do it. And that highlights like her, I don't know, maybe just it is for youth. It's like resilience. They're rubbery things. They bounce back. She was, oh my gosh, terrified that the wave knocked her over and she was underwater on this overcast day in the cold water. And then 2 seconds later, she was beaming, saying, oh my God, I can't wait to tell him. He's going to be so excited. And he was. And then we walked up, and to finish the afternoon there, there were, the guy who's blowing those gigantic bubbles. I'm sure he exists in every park around the world. You're like, there are enough other people around here that he's not going to try to do anything too crazy. And he makes these killer balloons, killer bubbles with two sticks. You seen this guy? Anyway, that happened. Not much more has happened. But I will leave you now and look forward to catching up with you on Friday. I hope you have a great week and I'll talk to you then. Bye.